This episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast is currently unsponsored. If you are interested in sponsoring us, please reach out to us on our socials, on Twitter, or on Instagram, at Mavs Film Room. If you're here just to listen to the podcast, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to your podcast to never miss an episode. And if you're a Mavs fan who's online, be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Mavs Film Room, so you can interact with our great community of Mavs fans and never miss some of the great content that we put out. So thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Go Mavs. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast. We're coming to you on Wednesday, March 6th, 2024, at around 8 p.m. Central Time. Recording this after a dispiriting loss by the Mavericks to the Indiana Pacers, their second loss to Indiana in a 10-day span. So far, they're in the midst of five losses in six games. After that great seven-game win streak that we thought was changing things, the Mavericks are back in familiar territory, not only for this season, but, you know, it's hard not to think about last season and the late season spiral that the Mavericks went into. Whether or not this is the same case as last year, only time will tell, but can't blame you if you're a Mavs fan and you're feeling a bit of PTSD right now. It certainly does not feel great. I'm joined here with Vinay Chimitti. Vinay, how's it going?
Hi, Jay. How are you?
I don't know, man. I'm okay. It could be better, could be worse, but I've chosen to not let this team's performance affect me that much.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the beginning of this losing streak, I mean, I guess it's not a losing streak necessarily, but this stretch of losing basketball, I think I was taking the losses harder, like that Cleveland game, for example, we thought was extremely, you know, disappointing for obvious reasons. We thought that that was more of an encouraging sign than a dispiriting sign because the Mavericks played one of the best teams in the league close up until the final buzzer, but clearly that was sort of only a sign of things to come as the Mavericks have dropped four games since then, with their only win coming in Toronto, which obviously Toronto is not a great team.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was right there with you, probably even higher on the team than you were about after that seven-game win streak. I thought we just had like the right size around Luka finally with PJ, who honestly is still, even despite these losses, I've still been really pleased with PJ's performance on both ends since he's been here. I know he's missed some corner threes, but I just think I've seen enough. I don't think he should be taking corner threes as much anymore. And then Gafford, I think he struggled a little bit defensively guarding in space and then chasing some blocks. But for the most part, I've honestly liked what he's brought, especially off on the offensive glass and just having his length out there. But, you know, Jason Kidd, I think we'll talk about it, just kind of seems stuck to his one system that got them to the Western Conference Finals in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that right now. I mean, I think there's obviously an adjustment period that comes anytime you're integrating new players, and perhaps that adjustment period is happening right now as opposed to in the, you know, when the trade first happened. And maybe some of that is due to the fact that teams didn't have a lot of film on these new players in the early onset of the new look Mavericks, and now that they do have more film, they're able to more effectively scheme against the Mavs. But that begs the question, kind of like you said, where are the adjustments by the Mavericks? Because clearly there haven't been any adjustments. Teams are approaching guarding the Mavericks differently, and the Mavs haven't come up with a counter to that yet. And extremely concerning with 20 games remaining left in the season that we're in this position right now.
Yeah, I just think, I'm not saying we have an all-defensive team on our roster. I don't think anyone on the roster would make an all-defensive team. But besides the point, like in basketball, if you just like are on the same page as everyone on the floor with you, like you're rotating to the right spots, if you're giving effort, like there's zero excuse for you to be even a bottom five, bottom 10 defense. Like I don't, especially with the personnel we have now, like we have some length, we have size. And like I said, they're not all defensive talent, but they should be able to get on the same page together. And it's like, this isn't just like Luka, Kyrie can't defend. This is like, guys are just being left open. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to switch right. They don't have to know how to do anything. It's like we're watching a preseason, watching this team play in preseason, but we have 20 games left in the regular season. This team's in a precarious playing situation, yet these guys don't know what they're doing on defense. It's not a Luka is too slow to guard issue. It's not a Kyrie is too small to guard issue. Maybe in some cases it could be a Josh Green isn't good enough point of attack defender in some cases, but for the most part, like regardless of all these issues, like this defense should be way better than it is. Like Derek Lively last couple weeks, in spite of all these defensive issues, has played like a legitimate all defensive type of player. Now, there's been some issues with guarding five out centers and whatnot. Miles Turner went off on us. Like I've never seen any center do against this before. Honestly, I don't remember the last time a center's done that to us. So yeah, I just think there's got to be some adjustments. Like Maxi Kleber, I understand he's important to this Jason Kidd defensive scheme in terms of all five players being able to guard in space, but you have to look at the whole picture. And what is he providing for you on offense? What is he providing for you on the glass? He can't be your sole big. It's just, it doesn't work. So you have to play to your strengths. You have size, you have all this stuff. Having Luka, like I know Luka and Kyrie, like Kyrie's a smaller guy, but having Luka like gives you the ability to be a physical team. So like, try to be as big as possible, and that's what I would go towards. Like, have one of Lively or Gafford on the floor at all times. Don't leave Maxi out there alone. Maxi doesn't have it. If Tim doesn't have it, or if Josh doesn't have it, you got to be able to pull him out and go with someone else. They're not this much better than the guys that aren't playing, to where those guys can't get any playing time. I'm talking about Jaden Hardy and Lawson and Omax. Sorry for the rant.
No, I mean, what you said is accurate, and it you know, covers a lot of problems that are going on with the Mavericks. I mean, I think defense is the first thing that comes to mind. As you guys probably know, the Mavericks have had far and away the worst defensive rating since the All-Star break. Their defensive rating is 126, which is a whole 4 points per 100 possessions worse than the Washington Wizards. Right, just let that sink in. The Wizards' defensive rating in that stretch is 122.5. The Mavericks' defensive rating is 126. That's just unacceptable for a team that has serious aspirations. The worst defense in the league. There's no indication that it's getting any better because the scheme is fundamentally broken. And yeah, I'm not. And like you said, it's not. I won't say that the Mavericks necessarily have any all-defensive caliber players on the floor. But when you have PJ Washington, you have Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, Derek Jones Jr., hell, even Josh Green, right? The defense should not be this bad. And whatever they're doing right now is not working. We see so much overhelping from defenders. Defenders caught out of position, rotating when they don't need to. Like, this is just elementary school stuff that's going on right now that the Mavericks are not able to execute. And whether that boils down to players not understanding the scheme, coaches not coaching the scheme properly, or just a fundamentally broken approach to defense, it's just very concerning to see this happening for the second straight year, because as we remember last year, the undoing of the Mavericks was just their inability to stop anyone. And we're seeing that happen again, which I mean, it's just like very disheartening to see.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think, I mean, I hate to be this guy, but the Mavericks did play the Pacers and there were some bad matchups, I guess, for them. Like the Pacers are a bad matchup for them. I hate to say, like the way they move the ball, the way they're five out and the way they kind of expose like our slower centers, and they're a hard match for us right now. But I mean, regardless of who we're playing, like that just can't happen. And I mean, tomorrow's going to be a tough test with Miami. Like they know how to play basketball well. They're going to play hard and you gotta bring it. So, I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of questions about the heart of this team and all of this stuff. After last year's with the play-in and missing it, like I figured there'd be a little bit more sense of urgency. It's not all just about effort. Like this is if you're the 30th worst defense in the NBA since the All-Star break, there's a lot of things going wrong. It's not just one thing. And I think the biggest thing is scheme. I really do. Like guys don't know what they're doing. And I think it has to fall on Jason Kidd's shoulders. And this is a kind of a repeat of what happened in Milwaukee and Brooklyn in terms of defenses under Jason Kidd regressing after that first year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of factors, right? Like, it's the scheme, it's the effort, it's the mental fortitude. Like you said, this team is in a big slide right now, and it doesn't seem like there's that sense of urgency. I mean, yeah, we hear things about Markieff Morris and Kyrie Irving speaking up, but that's all fine and good, but it's got to happen on the floor, and right now it's not. And then the scheme doesn't put players in a position to succeed. I think as a coach, that's your number one job, is to work with the personnel that you have and put them in the best possible position to succeed. And for the majority of this season, for pretty much all of last season, you could make the excuse that the Mavericks didn't have the personnel to execute a competent defense. They didn't have the supporting talent around Luka to give him some relief so that he doesn't have to carry the burden the entire time. That's not the case anymore. After these trades where the Mavericks surrendered pretty good draft capital, two first round picks to get PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. I feel like the roster is finally there to be able to do something with. It's not a perfect roster by any means, but they have more than enough talent to be able to be more competitive than this. They're losing by an average of, I think, 14.6 points in these last five or six games. That's just unacceptable. You're getting your ass kicked every single night that you get out there. Like, where is the pride? Where is the urgency? And again, this comes back to coaching too. I've been one of the biggest defenders of Jason Kidd throughout his tenure here in Dallas. But at some point, it does come back to the coach. The Mavericks have changed the roster. They've changed the assistant coaches. Why are they looking so unprepared to come out of every single game? That's another big thing here. They play well for maybe the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game and then completely fall apart after that, can't recover. That speaks to mental fortitude, and it speaks to, quite frankly, a coach whose message is not getting through to the players, because if it was, there'd be some impetus or some urgency from them to play harder, to play for the coach, to play for each other. We're not seeing that right now.
No, not at all. And it's discouraging because now you're going to get all these takes about, Luka's a empty stats guy. He's a loser. You can't win with him in the playoffs as your best player. All this stuff. You can't have a competent defense around him. All this stuff. Like, I mean, this is a total organizational failure that it's gotten to this point right now. And I know there's 20 games left. Not, like, my sense of optimism comes, and it's unfounded at this point based on 2 years together, but my optimism still comes in the fact that we got 77 and 11 in the backcourt. And, I do think this team could do better in a playoff situation than maybe in a regular season. Like, maybe that's something, but they have to also get there. Right now, it's not looking good. Right now, I would probably queue them in for a play-in spot right now. I don't think they're going to fall out of the play-in spot like last year just because of how the standings are this year as opposed to last year. Like, I think they're six games up on Utah, who's the 11th seed right now. So I don't think that's going to happen, barring some catastrophe, which, I mean, I guess nothing's out of the question.
I mean, yeah, it sucks a lot that we're in this position right now, that we can't trust this team to recover from this slump, right? We can't trust this team not only to recover, we can't trust this team to win in a play-in scenario, right? You got to hope that they land in the seventh or eighth seed, because has this team shown us anything this season besides that seven-game win streak that they're capable of putting it together in a must-win situation? I mean, like you said, when you have Luka and Kyrie, I suppose that gives you a chance in any game, but why would you want to be in that situation in the first place? And that's not a situation that they should be in year six of Luka, quite frankly. I get that the standings are tight and it's difficult, and a losing streak will move you down, but to finish below the eighth seed this year would still be a failure to me, because let's be real. Even if the Mavericks are able to make the playoffs as an eight seed, having won two play-in games, they're still a significant underdog in that series. And the fact that they had to scrap and claw to get to that point just speaks to how tumultuous the regular season was. And it's been a very up and down regular season for 2 years in a row.
No, absolutely. No, you can't use the injury excuse anymore for these last stretch of games because you've had basically everyone in there. So they have 20 games to get it right. I don't have a lot of confidence that they will, just mainly because of the defense. Like, I mean, sure, they can outshoot some guys, but if you can't be better than the worst defense in the NBA for the last 7 games, then, I mean, you should realistically be looking at a tankathon if your defense is that bad.
I mean, yeah, it's the Mavericks, like, to put it plainly, they're playing losing basketball right now on defense. I mean, even on offense too. Their
And
offense,
even
I mean, I
offense
think,
too.
yeah, like, their offense has been rated fine since the All-Star break, but when you watch it, it just doesn't pass the eye test, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, Luka's going crazy. Kyrie has been playing well too, although these last few games he's had some bad games, and that's been a reason why they haven't been able to win. But also, no one else on this team is able to contribute offensively. Tim Hardaway Jr. is in a terrible slump. We've talked about that ad nauseum. Josh Green has been completely taken out of taken out of the offensive game plan. Maxi Kleber is in a cold streak too. Where is that? PJ Washington has played well. That's probably the one bright spot on offense. And even then, he's had his fair share of rough games, a 1-for-7 shooting night against Philadelphia the other game. It's just, there's no adjustments, and there's really, there's no answer to these problems. I can't think of an answer that the Mavericks are going to put forth to solve some of these issues right now. It just seems like you got to hope and pray that Kyrie Irving snaps out of the slump, that Tim Hardaway Jr. snaps out of the slump, that Luka continues to play at the MVP level he's playing at. I mean, he's not going to win MVP, but you know what I mean, right?
No, I mean, he's been the best. I mean, arguably, he's been the best player in basketball this year in spite of everything. Like, I know the win-loss record isn't there, but he's been absolutely ridiculous. Yesterday, we're only down at four at halftime. Couldn't get a stop on the Pacers for more than, like, two stops in a row, if that. And we're down by four because we have this, like, magician on the court on our team, and people want to blame him. I have no idea how you can blame him when, you know, you have all these issues on offense. We still score 70 points in a half. Kyrie wasn't really going in the first half. These guys can't really hit shots. I think PJ had maybe 15 at halftime, but still, like, we have like a one-man offensive wrecking ball at all times, even with or without Kyrie. Like, that's how good he is on offense. And for people to like expect him to do everything on offense, and then also, like, I get he needs to stop bitching at refs. I get he needs to, like, you know, lock in and on defense more and whatnot. But like, he is like way, way, way down the list of what's wrong with this franchise. And I get, like, you're going to get criticism when you're the best player on your team and you're underperforming. That's cool. It's not really like, this is not really the time to like fight back and consult those arguments, because now it's 2 years in a row you might miss the playoffs. But at the same time, anyone with ball with eyes and a brain can like see like how good this guy is. Like, I don't really want to say like, come on, but like, come on, like,
no, come
like,
on,
get it together.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, the second
together.
It's the second straight year of his name being dragged through the mud for problems that aren't all his fault. Like you said, yes, he can be better with his body language, his demeanor. He can be better on defense. But the reality is, when you're playing 40 minutes a night and carrying such a burden on offense, it's
no one
unrealistic.
Can do,
yeah.
No one in the league can do what he's doing. People want to say get in better shape and all this stuff. Literally no one in the league can do what Luka does in terms of carrying the offensive load like that every
his
night.
Usage, he's leading. I don't know if he's leading the league in minutes. I'm pretty sure he is. He's averaging 37 point whatever minutes per game. His usage rate is, you know, sky high as well. If to ask him to do that and ask him to be a plus defender is, you know, that's LeBron. That's prime LeBron. And we know Luka is never going to be that level.
LeBron wasn't guarding the best every night. He was carrying the load either. He was more of a help defender anyway. There's not a player in basketball since these like heliocentric offenses have been kind of coming into the NBA. Like, none of these guys are like guarding the best player on their team and taking the offensive load. Like, remember Kawhi in that Clippers series? He wasn't guarding Luka every play. Like, he has to, like, I'm not comparing Luka to Kawhi defensively. I'm just saying, like, if you're carrying an offensive load like that, you're not going to be able to chase the best or second best players. Not saying Luka can do that anyway, but you shouldn't be asking your offensive superstars to be guarding the best player on their team like that.
Yeah, and the defensive scheme is designed to hide Luka on the, maybe not, if not the worst, like the least mobile, you know, player on the opponent, so that he doesn't have to work that hard defensively. But the issue is that the scheme is not working right now, and it's forcing Luka into bad rotations that leave guys open. And then obviously there are these effort lapses that happen because of just how tired that he is. I mean, yesterday I was reading in an article by Tim Cato, Luka played 34 consecutive minutes in the game yesterday before garbage time, right? Like, that's crazy. And I guess halftime was in between that. But that, you know, firstly, the fact that he's having to do that right now is a problem. We haven't even talked about that yet. I don't think that should be the case, but it is. And for whatever reason, that's probably going to have to be the case going forward. But these problems are all tied together.
For sure. I think the offensive load issue needs to solve itself a little bit better. Like, I think Kyrie needs to, like, even when Luka's off the floor, like, he likes to play off the ball. Like, he likes when Exum handles the ball and he can kind of create off ball. But I really think early in these games, man, they got to, like, let Kyrie cook. Like, first few possessions even, like, get him, like, a play drawn up and let him go one-on-one versus a defender on the other team. Like, I think we have to establish Kyrie a little bit more where it's not, like, so Luka supernova first or second quarter and then, like, he might get tired second half. Like, and I think that's the point of having Kyrie on your team, is to be able to split the load a little bit more. And I think they need to. And I don't think it's like it's Luka's fault thing. Like, Kyrie legitimately just likes to like kind of play off ball a lot more than people think. Like, I'm sorry for the Kyrie stance. It's not Luka's fault all the time that Kyrie doesn't get all these shots up. Like, it's up to him too. And he's not assertive enough sometimes.
Yeah. And I mean, the defensive game plan from the teams that we've seen these last couple of weeks that's been what they've been wanting to do. They've wanted to let Luka go crazy in the first half and tire himself out. And then in the second half, they're still playing that same defense and they're taking away everyone else because they're staying home on shooters. None of the guys around Luka and Kyrie can really create their own offense, and it creates a problem. And it was, as we saw yesterday in the third quarter, the Mavericks scored 18 points. Like, going shot for shot with the other team just doesn't work because the Mavericks don't have the personnel to do that. And
And
so
that's a
I think,
roster problem for sure. Like they have, I would say, two players that can create offense consistently. PJ sometimes can attack a closeout. I wouldn't even really give that nod to Jaden Hardy. I think he can get to like a mid-range shot here and there, but for the most part, he's not generating an offensive look every play. Like we have two guys on the team that can do that consistently, and that's how it is. And I think it's doable, but it's just you have to defend at least at like a below average level. You can't defend at historically horrible levels.
yeah, and the weird thing was that the Mavericks were playing good defense during that win streak. They weren't just playing good defense, they were playing elite defense. So I wonder what changed. I mean, maybe teams adapted to that scheme. I have to go back and look to see if they were playing the
I
same
mean, I
scheme.
know I'm just trying to think of the Thunder game. You know, they got away with, I guess, leaving Josh Giddey just open, just like not guarding him. And you can't necessarily do that against some of these teams we've played lately. I too have to go back and look how they play defense, but that's just kind of off the top of my head, something that I remember. Like they could kind of just sag off guys like that. Even the Suns, like when they have Josh Okogie in there, like
Yeah.
kind of sag off. A lot of these teams we've played lately, they have like five. I mean, Rick Carlisle is a great coach. I've always been a big Rick Carlisle fan. I like love the five out system that he has offensively. It's a hard team to stop. Like they have the second ranked offense in the league for a reason. So some of those five out teams are going to be tough for us to guard, and you can't just rely on having a non-shooter on the other team to like do your defensive work for you, which is basically what they did against Josh Giddey. Like Josh Giddey basically did the Mavericks defensive work. They disrespected the hell out of him. I've
Yeah,
never seen
it
a player
was,
get
yeah.
disrespected like that.
It was very disrespectful. We posted a clip of like all the Josh Giddey threes, and there were times where the defenders were literally turning their back to him because they did not respect his jump shot. And to their credit, it worked. I mean, Josh Giddey's not a shooter, and they, you know, he didn't beat them. But I just feel like, yes, the Mavericks are capable of playing better defense than we've seen. I mean, I think Tim Cato made a good point in his article today. One of the biggest problems is transition defense has always been a problem for the Mavericks this season, and part of that is because their best defensive players are not as good on offense, so they're playing in the corners, the furthest away from the opposite side of the court. Or when Luka drives the baseline, he's also the furthest away from the other side of the court. He has to run all the way back. And that's not to mention that the Mavericks shoot a lot of threes. When those threes miss, it creates transition opportunities for the other team, and a team like Indiana will kill you. And that happened last night too. But
I
again,
feel like when other teams miss threes, bro, they get the long offensive rebound. And then when we miss a three, it's a long rebound for them and they're off in transition.
that's another thing. There's just such a lack of focus too. Like when you watch these games, it's a lot of guys just staring around and ball watching, whether it's ball watching the ball when it's in someone's hands or watching the ball when it's in the air. You got to go get the ball when it's a rebound. I mean, Indiana killed the Mavericks on offensive rebounds last night. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe the Mavs are just in a slump right now, but for 2 years of seeing this with no sign of it getting back to that 2022, that 2022 form, I think it does raise a lot of questions about Jason Kidd and his ability to lead this team going forward and whether he's the right man for the job.
I just don't think he is. I just flat out don't think he is, and it sucks, but it's just the truth. Like I'm a big believer in coaching in the NBA and the NFL for that matter, but just in general, like I just think it's everything, especially when you get to playoff time where you're game planning for these opponents. That's the end goal for the Mavericks. Like they want to win a championship, so you got to get through these playoff series versus these good coaches. And you know, I don't know if we have the have what it takes right now. Like I know Jason Kidd had the great run 2 years ago in the playoffs, but you know, I just think the writing's on the wall. I don't think he's a good coach. And it's been proven at Milwaukee and Brooklyn. I know it was a while ago. But I don't think it's coincidental that as soon as they fired Jason Kidd in Milwaukee, that they hired Mike Budenholzer in 160 plus games or whatever. I know they added some personnel like Brook Lopez that year, but I mean, it's not a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, I've been a big Jason Kidd defender for a long time, and I'm not going to sit here and call for his firing like a lot of people are doing. But at the same time, I do agree with you that I think I'm starting to lose faith in his ability to be the guy going forward. I think Jason Kidd deserves credit for restoring some faith among players that the Mavericks and Dallas is a good situation for them to be in. I think he deserves credit for that. I think he deserves credit, obviously, for the Mavericks' most successful season in a decade at the time. They hadn't won a playoff series in 10 years. He was able to lead them to their best record in 10 years and finally a playoff series victory in a Western Conference Finals appearance. But the results since then have been mediocre to bad. I mean, they're 72 and 72, exactly 500 since that Western Conference Finals season. That is not where you want to be in year six of Luka Doncic. And I just think that we see this Night in and night out, the lack of preparedness when this team comes out. How can you look this unprepared every single night? There's no formula that's being run to get through the regular season. It's such big swings of immense highs and immense lows. Like that kind of swing, those kind of swings are not good for a team over a course of a season. It's emotionally exhausting for the fans, and I'm sure it's emotionally exhausting for the players too. You need someone to lead you through with some consistency and some, I don't know what the other word is, but consistency, right? Like every night shouldn't be like a Jekyll and Hyde thing, right? There should be some reasonable expectation when you see the team go out that they're going to compete, and we're not seeing that right now.
No, for sure. And I think, I mean, Jason Kidd is the biggest part to blame for that. I think Luka and Kyrie deserve some blame for that too. Like you're the leaders of the team. You got to get your guys ready to play for the most part every night. Like I know that's supposed to be the head coach's job, but you guys are also the leaders on the team. Like, and I even let yesterday, like I like how they started the game with Kyrie had some nice defensive plays in that first quarter, but you know, it's just got to be consistent. And when teams are, or when people can, everyone can call out your effort. Not just those two, but everyone on the roster, like it's a problem. Schemes are a problem. Like it sucks to talk about. Like I just like I don't want to hear all this. Like Luka, I get they aren't the best defenders, but like I said earlier, like if you have your team working as a unit, being in the right spots defensively, like and just make it like harder as hard as possible. Like yesterday, I feel like the Pacers got all their shots just made before 10 seconds even hit the shot clock. Like it was just early, quick. They knew what to do. Bang, 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 bucket. Like it was so easy for them yesterday. It wasn't like they ever had to like stall out the clock or anything like that. It was always just quick. I've never seen anything like it. Like it was one of the worst defensive performances I think I've ever seen in my life. And this was a day after they said that, you know, they had this nice little film session to go over defensive stuff. Like, I don't know, man. To sum
It's
up
a
the point, I
problem.
don't think Jason Kidd's not going to be the head coach of this team when the Mavericks win their next championship.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that. But you know that brings other questions too. Like, what does that mean for Kyrie Irving's future in Dallas? I mean, we know that Jason Kidd resonates with him. Kyrie Irving loves Jason Kidd. If you replace Jason Kidd, how does it affect Kyrie Irving's desire to be in Dallas? That's another thing too. But again, I just think that, you know, looking at it, like zooming out a little bit, Nico Harrison has held up his end of the bargain. He's made the changes to the roster that we've been wanting to see, that Jason Kidd has wanted. Luka Doncic has committed himself to getting in better shape, maintaining his form throughout the season better. At some point, it has to go back to Jason Kidd. He's the last remaining variable that this team can change before we have to have even more difficult conversations. So, I mean, obviously, like you said, things can change in these last 20 games. Maybe these last 6 games were just a low point and they'll recover from this, but I just don't see any signs of that being the case. And, you know, at this point, all we can do is really pray that things change and we can get into the playoffs and hopefully be competitive from there.
But I think the last whatever amount of games kind of just changed what I think is the ceiling of this team. Like I think they're super lucky and things go right, they can steal a playoff series. But I think besides that, it's kind of wishful thinking. Even winning the playoff series is wishful thinking. I'm just saying that's the absolute
Yeah.
ceiling I see for this team is probably that.
Yeah, I mean the reality is the Mavericks are at a coaching disadvantage almost every night. Like for a long time I believed that Jason Kidd's approach was correct in letting Luka and now Kyrie dictate things on the floor, but in reality, your coach has to put your personnel in a good position to succeed, and I don't think Jason Kidd is doing that right now. His adjustments are just not quick enough. He's very stubborn, as evidenced with him riding out Tim Hardaway Jr. until last night, where Tim Hardaway only played 13 minutes. But you got to make quicker adjustments. It's not the time of the season where you can take this long-term approach. Like things have to happen fast. Results have to show. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting on the couch for the second straight year.
I don't want to hear all these. Like, I feel like we're so simple in our defensive schemes. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's, like I said on the other podcast, like, there's got to be ways for you defensively to get these big guys on the floor. How does Denver do it? You think, like, guarding Jokic doesn't guard well in space. How do they do it? You know, like,
I know,
you got to
yeah.
be on the same page. Like, I don't want to hear all these cop outs, like, Lively and Gafford can't guard in space that well. Like, it's just cop outs. Like, be better. Like, adjust your scheme to the players you have. You got to get those guys on the floor more. You need their size on the floor. Yeah, Maxey doesn't have the same foot speed he does even like a week ago. It seems like he's like completely zapped his athleticism from even a week ago. He just doesn't move the same. You can't rely on him to do the stuff that you're asking him to do. I would rather see PJ at the five than I would see Maxi at the five at this point. Like, at least with PJ, like, everyone, if he's the five, I don't think they've used that lineup yet, but at least when PJ's at the five, like, everyone in your lineup is somewhat, like, quicker foot speed-wise. And when Max is out there, I just, like, I'm not seeing the defensive impact that it's worth having him out there brick threes. I just don't see it.
It's not. It's not. I mean, there was a play last night where Maxi shot a corner three off a low catch, and like, you knew that it wasn't going in when he shot it. But it's like, I'd rather him step out of bounds in that scenario than take that shot, because all it does is lead to a long rebound and a transition opportunity for the other team. I love Maxi, and for whatever reason, he was playing great during that win streak. But he's kind of back to playing pretty badly right now, to where I don't think there's an advantage when he's on the floor. You might as well just ride it out with your more talented players at that point. He's not a stretch big at this point because the jump shot doesn't warrant the respect from defenses. And honestly, him missing all these threes is causing even more problems for a very problematic Mavs defense.
And I'm not saying they're like the answers, like AJ Lawson, even Hardy over Tim or Omax, but like, I don't know. At some point, like yesterday, like you want to get some energy into the game and maybe change some stuff up. Like, wasn't AJ Lawson a part of that 30-0 run against Oklahoma City, the one game we lost in December?
He was.
And I don't think I've seen him use much at all. Yeah. I think there's a game against the Pelicans that he played a little bit in, but besides that, like, really has not played that much. And I'm not saying he's like this amazing defensive player or anything like that, but I just want to see something a little different. Like, at worst, Lawson and Omax give you just a ton more athleticism on the floor than, in Maxi's case, than Maxi.
Or even
so
just
like
energy.
Exactly. Like, I want, like, give me something. Like, I just, all the, like, the all the narratives about just Jason Kidd just kind of watching and all that stuff are just true. Like, he just doesn't really adjust to what's going on in front of him. He just kind of sticks to what he thinks works.
Unfortunately, they are true. I mean, you know, at this point, you see guys hanging their head. You don't see them energetic out there. Like, when they're getting their ass kicked, naturally, it's easy to hang your head. But that's when you have to go with a different look. You have to do something to inject energy, because clearly they've been running the same rotation out there for the last month or so. And obviously, these last 2 weeks, it hasn't been working. Where's Jaden Hardy?
And even
Hardy,
the starting.
Right?
Yeah, even the starting lineup, like, it's done well net rating wise, but I want to see, like, I want to see Josh Green pulled out of the lineup. I want to see Derek Jones or someone else that can defend a little bit better in their lineup instead. Like, Josh Green's been all right. He's been pretty bad lately, but he was all right in February, end of January. But I just kind of want to see what it would look like with Derek Jones out there just defensive. Like, we have to do something to fix the defense. Like, something has to be done. You're not taking Luka out. You're not taking Kyrie out. You're not taking PJ out. I'm not taking Derek Lively out. The one spot I would probably change up is Josh Green. I would probably put in Derek Jones. I'm not saying he's probably not going to play a ton, but just starting him and seeing what it looks like at the point of attack, like, I would rather see that than Josh Green. I've seen enough from Josh Green die on screens to where I just don't want to see it anymore in the starting lineup.
I agree with you. I think that's the best change they can make. Look, I like Derek Lively. I like PJ Washington. If you can get a good point of attack defender, I think Derek Jones is the best that they have right now. Maybe that'll change up your defense. But
and I would honestly pick, I would put Exum in, but the minutes restriction thing is definitely like an issue. You can't just use a pull of his minutes to start the game.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't think Dante Exum starting is an option because of the injury issues. His minutes restriction is just not worth it. But hopefully we're not in a position where we have to do that and we just have to, you know, play these guys to exhaustion. But it certainly seems like it's trending in that direction. So, I mean, look, tomorrow's game is not going to be easy against Miami, but it's obviously another opportunity to turn this thing around, because it's season is slipping away for the second straight year. There's no other way to put it.
No, absolutely. And I for some dumb reason think they're going to win tomorrow, but who knows? I mean, who knows? They have to do something, like, give us a little bit of hope. And I don't blame anyone for not having any ounce of hope. My only linger of hope on this team relies in the 77 and 11. And I just think they're so good. Like, I don't know. I'm like still like in delusion about what's going on this year and last year with this team. Like, the fact that they have an under 500 record with those two together is
insane.
Bad shit to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, yesterday they fell under 500 as a duo, which is unfathomable, because two players that talented should not have a 25 and 26 record together. But that's the case, and that just speaks to the fact that the Mavericks are not getting the most out of their team. They're not being put in a position to succeed. That's just plain and simple. They're wasting they're wasting the talent of both these two guys, and quite frankly, they're wasting the talent of other players like Derek Lively and PJ Washington. They should not be this bad with those two guys. Those are quality players that we're playing like a lottery team right now. We have, I would say, an above average roster in terms of talent. Like, we have one of the more talented rosters in the NBA at this point. There's no more excuses to make for the roster. There's just none. Not many teams have a perfect roster outside of Boston.
Let me ask you a tough question, Jay. Do you think you can build a competent defense around Luka and Kyrie?
That's a tough question. I've been asking myself that myself. To be honest with you, I don't know if you can, but at the same time, you can be better than this. You have to be at least top half of the league. You can't be bottom five, bottom seven. That's just not an option. And if that's the best that you can do, then something has to change, whether it's the coach, whether you have to break up the partnership of Luka and Kyrie. But the reality is, if you are to move on from Kyrie, because you know you're not moving on from Luka, who are you getting in return that's that talented? You're not. So I think the Mavs are stuck with the Luka, not stuck, but the Mavs are married to this Luka and Kyrie backcourt for the remainder of Kyrie's contract.
I don't think they should give up on it. And I do think that you can build a competent defense around the two. I just think it requires like a good head coach, though. And I think you have to have a better wing in there than Josh Green.
You do. And those are things that the Mavs are going to have to answer this summer, depending on how the rest of the season goes. But I think we're reaching an inflection point with the Mavs. And so, I mean, at this point, it's really just survival mode for them. Like, do whatever it takes to make sure you don't end up like last year, because that is the worst case scenario.
Yeah, and I think, like I said earlier in the podcast, like the playing situation isn't, in terms of falling out, I don't believe it is as dire as it was last year, just with how the standings are. Like, Utah at 11 is under 500 still, and we're, believe it or not, above 500. So, you know, I don't think it's going to get to that point. But, I mean, at the same time, like, fans don't want it and the players don't want it. They don't want to be in a one-game play-in for your season. Like, they don't want that. They want that six and they want that five, and doesn't look likely right now. But I mean, there's still 20 games left, and you know, we've seen what this team can do. Maybe we get like one of those mountain like stretch of the team where we all believe in the team here coming up soon. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's depressing to talk about, not gonna lie. We have Luka fucking Doncic, and this is what we're talking about.
It's possible, but the fact that we're even having this conversation right now after everything that we went through last year is pretty depressing. And unless something crazy happens where the Mavericks are able to make a long playoff run, I think a lot of these long-term questions that we talked about with Jason Kidd are going to continue into the offseason, where I think the Mavericks are going to have to really ask themselves if he's the right man for them to lead them into the future. Otherwise, I think a change might be in store for them this summer. But yeah, thanks, Vinay, for joining me on this episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast. Wish we could have done it under better circumstances, but tomorrow's an opportunity to make it right. So we'll see what the Mavericks do tomorrow against Miami. Appreciate all of you who listened to this episode and who have been listening to us this whole season. If you haven't, follow us on Twitter at Mavs Film Room. Follow us on Instagram at Mavs Film Room as well. And be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Thanks again. We'll see you soon. Go Mavs.